been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the April 21st live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, we've got a little rebound day going on today after a pretty yucky day yesterday. Right now the Dow is up 143 points, 33,963. Maybe the Dow has finally met its match at 34,000. We'll see. That seems to be the resistance area currently. S&P 500 up 10 points this morning to 4,145. The NASDAQ, however, has just slipped into negative territory. It's down 1 point. NASDAQ got hit pretty hard yesterday. It's at 13,784. And as of now, 14,000 is proving to be the resistance level for the NASDAQ. It bumps its head on there or thereof and then backs off. It's made a couple of attempts at that all-time high was 14,095. Russell 2000, small caps, participating a little bit today. They got stomped yesterday, up 0.5% right now. Crude oil's down 90 cents. Crude had a big sell-off yesterday on news of COVID spikes around the world. Gold up $17. Gold's got a bid under it right now. I've noticed Newmont Mining, Agnico Eagle, a couple other gold stocks starting to move. Gold is approaching 1800 finally. It's at 1796. And silver usually moves right along with it in lockstep, up 60 cents. Silver is much more volatile, however, than gold. 2644 is where silver is today. The bond market, 1.56. You've had a little flight to safety, and you've had a bond rally. Meanwhile, Bitcoin down $500, 55,498. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. What a yucky day yesterday was. I'm glad to see the sunrise. I was glad to see the sunset last night. It was a beautiful sunset. I think I'll put it in my newsletter. It was so spectacular. I captured just a glorious picture of the sunset last night. Looked like the second coming. It was really something. Anyways, it was a yucky day in the market yesterday. It was mostly due to, I guess, the COVID spikes around the world, especially in Japan. And also, I think there might have been a little bit of trepidation about the Chauvin verdict, which did come in. And all calm in the country today after that verdict. But the market might have been just a little bit apprehensive to that. It was Doge Day yesterday. Not very good one at that. For you Dogecoin fans, Doge is down another 6 cents today to 31 cents. Dogecoin with a $50 billion market cap, down 16, another 20% today after a nasty sell-off yesterday. So good luck with those Dogecoins. I continue to dodge Dogecoin. We had the global markets overnight not doing too well because of the spike in virus cases. Japan especially seems to be at the center of this recent spike, and Tokyo is going into an emergency lockdown once again. Japan was down 2% overnight, Hong Kong down 1.8%, and India also having a big spike, but their market thankfully was closed, and the Europe index also down sharply yesterday, rebounding a little bit, however, last night. There's continued talk of inflation. A couple of companies yesterday reporting inflation within their industry, Procter & Gamble and Coca-Cola. I believe inflation's coming back. Oh, it's not going to be off-the-chart type inflation, but it's definitely going to be hotter than what we've been used to over the recent years. And, of course, there was a little flight to safety. There was a little rally in gold yesterday. There's several gold stocks that are in rally mode right now. There was a little rally in the U.S. dollar yesterday. And there was also a rally in the U.S. Treasuries. And that yield has settled in at about 1.60 right now. Japan reimposes COVID-19 emergency in Tokyo. The Summer Olympics are scheduled to begin on July 23rd. Japan right now saying that will not affect the summer. How would you like to be an athlete training for, you know, the Olympics comes around every 4 years. And right now could be in a little bit of jeopardy. We had some big earnings reports last night. We'll get to those in a bit. Tonight, I'm looking at tonight after the close. Well, you're going to see Chipotle report earnings. How many burritos did they sell? Lam Research will report earnings tonight. That seems to be the two big ones tonight. Energy stocks yesterday, big hit. And that dragged, of course, on all the indexes. Boeing had a terrible day. It was one of the big culprits behind the big sell-off in the Dow. There was another culprit, and I'm trying to think what it was. The bank stocks also sold off yesterday with the drop in interest rates and the little bond market rally. Oil stocks under heavy pressure yesterday. Well, Bank of America securities clients were net sellers of stocks to the tune of $5.2 billion last week, even as the Dow and the S&P 500 hit new all-time highs. Now, let's put that into perspective. The outflows were the biggest seen in 5 months and the fifth largest outflow on record. While the four-week moving of average of flows turned negative for the first time since mid-February. Well, who was doing that selling? Where was that outflow coming from? Retail clients? No, not them. They were the only buyers last week. That's usually the way it is. They're buying at the top. While institutional and hedge fund clients sold. B of A strategist led by Jill Carey Hall wrote in a note today. She said, retail clients have been buyers for the eighth straight week while hedge fund clients sold for the third straight week. Buybacks have been muted the last few weeks in the quiet period ahead of earnings results and year-to-date cumulative buybacks. These are buybacks by corporations are up 9% from the same levels last year. I've also seen some reports of a lot of heavy, very heavy, insider selling, which it's one of the indicators that we watch. Insiders think that now's the time. There's been a little euphoria in certain areas of the market, and some of those insiders cashing in. Now, J.P. Morgan, on the other hand, says not to be concerned. Well, you know, everybody has their take on the market. J.P. Morgan is saying that the rise in COVID cases and concern of new variants is keeping stock index futures in check. This morning, cases are rising in Japan. A new variant is already hitting India with a devastating second wave. And there are worries about vaccine-resistant variants as well. But J.P. Morgan says stay with the recovery and reflation trade. It will be back and stronger than ever than they were at the start of the year. So that's J.P. Morgan's take on the current state of the market. Now, at the beginning of the year, J.P. Morgan's target price for the S&P was 4,300. They were the highest on the street. And, of course, right now we're right around 4,100. J.P. Morgan is sticking with that year-end target of 4,300. You got to use some lofty multiples to get to that. But apparently J.P. Morgan thinks that those lofty multiples are justified because of the current interest rate environment. J&J vaccine, looks like that's a problem that's about run its course. Looks like J&J will be back in the arms of people. Their vaccine, those jabs coming very soon, probably by the end of this week in the U.S., and it looks like Europe will reinstate J&J's vaccine also. Well, when we come back, the big earnings report after the close yesterday, is this a buying opportunity in this stock? This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Dow got a little lift under it today, up 157, getting back a little more than half of what we lost yesterday. Struggling with 34,000 right now, 33,975, and keeping a close eye on the COVID spike in Japan, the state of emergency there in Tokyo, and a new variant in India that doesn't look like it's being covered by the vaccines that are out there on the market at the current time. NASDAQ just barely, it's up a couple of points, being heavily influenced by our earnings stock of the day, which would be Netflix. That's the first really big earnings report of this season. And Netflix, well, you'd say, well, what was wrong with their report? They beat earnings by 78 cents. They beat on revenue. Well, it was new subscriptions. They only added 1 million new subscribers. What was expected? 4.3 million. Therefore, the stock is down $43 per share. It's down 7.9%. Now, obviously one of the FANG stocks. $225 billion company. You know, I still remember the days of going to the video store, picking out a video, and then having to get it back by midnight so you didn't have to pay the fine. And along came Netflix with a mail order service. And, of course, it's evolved into what it is today, a big giant conglomerate, a live streaming service with all kinds of original programming and just about everything. Now, in a go-go market, which this is not, last year was a go-go market. This year people are paying close, or they should be, I'm paying close attention to valuations. Last year, you know, momentum held sway. Not this year. I would consider Netflix at this, after on this current sell-off in a go-go market. This is not a go-go market. So here's the two valuation metrics that would definitely keep me out of jumping into Netflix here on this pullback. I don't own it at the current time. Number one, the current P.E. ratio, let's see, with this drop, it drops down to 66 times earnings. 66 times earnings. The market is trading at a very lofty 28, 29 times earnings. Very lofty. These are approaching 2,000 levels, year 2,000 levels. So the P.E. ratio very high on Netflix. The cash price to cash flow before the sell-off as of yesterday was 100. And I've been saying that price-to-sales ratios, which did not matter, yeah, over the last couple of years, price-to-sales ratio did not matter. They matter now. Why? Because now we're pointing out the fact that the price-to-sales ratio of the market, the S&P 500, is topping the price-to-sales ratio of the year 2000. So now that has, you know, people shining a spotlight on that price-to-sales ratio. What's the price-to-sales ratio that I'm trying to stay between right now? 1 to 3, somewhere in that area. Netflix is 9.7. Okay, way out of my range. The other ratio that I think is very important, even for growth investors, is the PEG ratio, which is the forward P.E., divided by the growth rate. Well, the forward PE of Netflix is 42. The market, by contrast, is 23. That's the S&P 500. And the growth rate of 28 for Netflix yields a PEG ratio of 1.47. If it was closer to 1, I might consider, you know, at least considering Netflix to get back into it in my premier growth portfolio. But then I look at the chart of Netflix, very poor. It's been in a sideways trend now for almost a year. It's basically trading in a channel between 460 and about 590. Okay, it's been trading in that channel. Right now it's smack dab in the middle of that channel. And the other thing that turns me off on Netflix, there's a real lack of relative strength, momentum, performance. It has a relative strength ranking of 39 using the Investor's Business Daily scale of 1 to 99, 39, very weak. And in my scale, I actually have a momentum grade of A-, but that's going to change tomorrow after today's big spill. It's down 7.8%, so I'm going to pass on buying the dip in Netflix. The airlines got whacked yesterday. You know, I didn't understand the buying in the airline stocks. I don't really like them in the first place. But now you've got all these COVID issues with it and, you know, people that calling people back to work and very unpredictable. United Airlines reported earnings and their forecast, it was very poor. And that brought down the airline index. So I would continue to avoid the airlines. Although the transportation index is pretty good right now because within that transportation index, there's a couple of hot subsectors. One would be the shipping, you know, the ships. And the other one would be the trucks, trucking, freight. Carriers, they've been very strong. J.B. Hunt and Old Dominion and several others in that group, XPO Express, have done quite well with the rebound, the opening back up of the economy. Well, I have been warning for several months, especially during the month of February, about the speculation. It really, to me, was a giant red flag seeing all of those SPACs. I noticed they've slowed down considerably. I was adding 10 SPACs a day to my app, and I even had a headline on my newsletter several weeks ago that warned about speculation. Well, hedge fund manager Marshall Wace, I don't know who he is, but he manages $1 billion. He has $1 billion in exposure to SPACs, both long and short. He believes that the SPAC bubble may not end well. Well, it's already imploding. You can look at a lot of these SPACs. They look horrible. I mean, I really can't think of one exception that looks good. And if you want to just have a look at the overall sector, look at the ETF, SPAC, S-P-A-K. It's gone from 35, it peaked, about when the market peaked, especially the go-go stocks in mid to late February. That's when I had 1,100 momentum stocks in my app. Now I have 250. That SPAC ETF has gone from 35 to 24. My math says in my head about a 33% correction in SPACs so far. And I think it's going to get a lot worse because I think there were a lot of really, really low-quality SPACs that came to market taking advantage of the speculation taking place. Well, where are the good parts of the market? We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Dow up 147, struggling with that 34,000 level. NASDAQ, however, has got a little lift there. Look at that. It's up 32 points right now. And the small caps are doing very well today. And gold is having a good day. So I don't want to hear many complaints or whining out there. There's no whining in the stock market. It is what it is. Today there should be very little whining so far. Okay, it's time to look for some ideas, isn't it? I love, you know, that's what I do with my mornings from 6:30 till 10 a.m., 3.5 hours. I'm looking at all the news that's happened between the end of the show yesterday until today. And I'm constantly on the lookout, perched on the watchtower, all along the watchtower, looking for ideas out there on the horizon. And I poo-poo 99% of those ideas, okay? And then there's about 1% that finally meet my strict criteria. Okay, well, the guru that everybody's looking to these days seems to be Kathy Wood. She's got a few ideas. Let's see what Kathy has going on. She continues to add shares of Coinbase. This is the recent IPO. It is a $61 billion market cap company. I'm going to pass on Coinbase. She's selling NVIDIA. Doesn't look like NVIDIA's purchase of ARM is going to go through. And she's selling Virgin Galactic. Space, SPCE. I would have never owned it in the first place. She's selling that. Coinbase gets a new buy rating from Rosenblatt. I'm going to pass. Kathy Woods is buying Workhorse Group. It gets, she's a big buyer of Workhorse. Now, Workhorse Group is an autonomous, it's an electric truck maker. And medium-duty trucks, which is becoming a crowded space. Everybody seems to have an electric truck on the drawing board. The question is, who's going to sell the most? It doesn't look like it's going to be Nikola anymore. Funny thing is, when the U.S. Postal Services was looking for electric trucks and whatnot, they turned to Oshkosh in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, instead of Workhorse. Well, Workhorse has things on the drawing board. I don't like the chart. It's a crowded field. I'm going to definitely pass on Workhorse. Well, there's a new cryptocurrency that they're touting. After the Doge dive yesterday, Doge is 32 cents right now. It was a half a cent not too long ago. Now they're looking at SafeMoon. The cryptocurrency reached a market cap of $1 billion in less than a month and saw a 7,618% growth in the last 30 days, bringing the new market cap to $2 billion. SafeMoon, the new hot crypto. I'm going to pass. Corn. Corn climbs to an 8-year high on concerns over tightening supplies. You know, I've been reporting about this big, huge rise in basic commodities of life. Look at the chart of corn, C-O-R-N. I tongue-in-cheek have been tweeting out, you know, you can buy Bitcoin or you can buy a bushel of corn. You can't eat Bitcoin when push comes to shove. But think of all the uses for corn. You know, corn is used as a sweetener. Corn, obviously, is used for livestock. And it's used for fuel, let's not forget. It's ethanol. And, of course, corn whiskey, I suppose, would also be a use for corn. Well, there's a corn ETF, C-O-R-N. And I don't have a corny joke to attach to it, but that's one of the strongest charts in the entire market right there, 8-year high on concerns over tightening supplies. You can also look at the chart of soybeans, S-O-Y-B. That one's hitting a new high. Wheat, W-E-A-T, that's hitting a new high. My favorite is J-J-G. That includes all the grains, hitting a new all-time high today. You can eat those. You can't live off Bitcoin if push comes to shove. Okay, how about Peloton? Should we go back into some of those work-from-home stocks that were so hot last year? Peloton's one of the worst-looking charts in the entire market, even though Macquarie likes it. Well, they got problems with their treadmill. A little kid was killed by a Peloton treadmill. Those work-from-home stocks look terrible. They started going south in late January, and that massive sell-off continues. Well, we could look to the betting stocks, the online gambling stocks. I see DraftKings, which has been sagging quite a bit lately, even though they're getting new deals with the NFL and the NBA and everybody else. Well, now they're adding Gisele Bündchen as the board advisor. Of course, she's the wife, the famous model wife of Tom Brady. DraftKings, however, when I look at the chart and the valuation of DraftKings, very high, I'm going to pass on DraftKings. How about a big dividend stock? Verizon pays a dividend yield of 4.3%. Well, here's my problem with Verizon. I like dividend yields, but I like growth to accompany my dividend yield, okay? And Verizon is a single-digit grower. I've said many times, stocks follow earnings. And when earnings are growing, the stock follows, as long as the stock doesn't get too expensive. But when earnings are flat, the stock also follows a very flat earnings curve. And that would remove Verizon from my consideration. Dividend yield, good. Growth, terrible. Well, Stiefel disagrees with me. They think that this Netflix pullback is an attractive entry point. I disagree. Hey, here's one, finally. This is about the sexiest stock in the entire market. Think mufflers, fan belts, spare tires, all the things you need from time to time with the old jalopy. Advanced Auto Parts. Can you believe it? You know, I've seen this cycle before. I remember when AutoZone was one of the hottest stocks. It was the number one ranked stock in my app for a long time. In fact, when I was inventing the app, I was finding all these stocks that I had no idea were such great stocks, such as AutoZone, such as Priceline.com, etc. A lot of them were under the radar at the time. Dollar Tree was another one. Well, you know, those stocks are kind of coming around again. Advanced Auto Parts is currently ranked number 159 out of 5,782. 159 out of 5,782. 88% upside potential. Price to sales ratio 1.26. Forward PE 17, PEG ratio 1.11, fantastic momentum, and breaking out to a new all-time high while Peloton is breaking down. You see the difference? Do you see the difference in this year's market versus last year's market? Now, just be careful when you pull into that Advanced Auto Parts parking lot and you see that spot, make sure some guy's legs aren't hanging out underneath the car, changing his oil right there in the advance. I saw a guy doing that one time. I almost ran him over. Luckily, I caught him right at the last minute. Last time I traded to change my oil, well, it was about 10 years ago. Oh, boy, I'll never do that again. I crawled under the car and had my big drip pan and undid the nut. First thing that happened was the nut fell right into the drip pan, obviously, with about 5 gallons or whatever it is, 5 quarts, I guess, of automotive, dirty automotive oil. Where are you going to dump that? And I had to fish out the nut. And my wife had to fish out the nut from under the car. All right, well, let's see. Advanced Auto Parts does fit That is definitely. Now, they don't pay as much of a dividend as Verizon, but they do pay a 2% dividend yield, and the stock is growing. Headquartered in Raleigh, North Carolina, I show earnings growth for Advanced Auto Parts, 15.5%. So there's a live one for you. You're going to get two today, two featured stocks of the day. It's your lucky day. Just be careful in that parking lot, and don't try changing your oil by yourself unless you really know what you're doing, which I don't. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson. Russell 2K, look at that, up 1.6%. That's the small cap index, which really got slammed yesterday. The Dow now up 177. That's a half a percent. The NASDAQ is up 25. Netflix is having a big negative impact on the NASDAQ today. But we're having a good day here with several nice gainers in our portfolios. Now, I'll be doing the newsletter. Is tomorrow Thursday? I forget which day it is. Well, yeah, tomorrow, Thursday. And we'll be sending it out. We finally got it out last week, Friday, around noon, 1 o'clock. We'll probably, that's going to be the system from now on. And the newsletter, look. I know millennials are listening to the show or younger folks. They want to hear me talk about ant miners and Bitcoin. That was last year. This is a totally different market this year. You might want to listen to a guy who's been around for 24, 25 years in the business and witness the 2000 debacle and collapse in the dot-com, one of the biggest bubbles of all time. There's bubbles in the market today. The SPAC bubble grew to a massive bubble in early February when I was adding 10 SPACs a day to my Best Stocks Now app, and I warned about that bubble. And I believe that there's a massive bubble in the digital coin space. But you know what? You do what you want. That's what the market's all about. That's why I play that song. Go where you want to go. Do what you want to do. That's what the market is all about. It's a marketplace. This is a different market this year. The pickings are not as easy. There's not going to be these fast-moving stocks. It's a lot harder to grind out a living and some gains in the market this year than it was last year. And I think you also have to really be careful about the risk you take on this year. We've just had a massive upheaval in the market, a massive upheaval during the month of February where money just gushed. I've never seen such a quick rotation. It gushed out of the high PE, high growth stocks. It was mostly caused by a big jump in interest rates. Well, you say interest rates are dropping again. Should we go back into those high PE stocks? No. Because now you've got to look at the overall valuation risk that is weighing on the market, on the S&P 500 itself. So I say you got to look for value stocks. I know they're not as exciting. I can't imagine a millennial buying Applied or Advanced Auto Parts. Well, the next stock I'm going to feature is about as exciting. It's a car dealership. You know, the chip shortage has had massive effects far and wide. You've had GM closing down factories, Ford, until they get caught up with the chips. But it's also led to a massive run on used cars, number one. And the low interest rates have also led to cars and all the stimulus money, etc. Lithia Motors will be my next featured stock of the day. L-A-D. LAD. L-A-D. Lithia Motors. which we own in our emerging growth portfolio. No, ultra growth portfolio. It's a $10 billion company with fantastic earnings growth, 17% per year over the last 5 years. They operate 209 car dealerships in 22 states, offering 33 brands of new and used cars and light trucks. They're very well diversified. Listen to their last three quarters, okay? I dare you to find this in the EV manufacturing amongst the EV stocks. This quarter that they reported today, their earnings were up 193%. The quarter they reported last quarter, up 85%. And the third quarter of 2020, their earnings were up 103%. That is phenomenal growth. I mean, Lordstown Motors or a Workhorse would give anything to have growth like that. You're going to wait a long, long time to get growth like that, and you may never see. I doubt that you'll ever see growth like that, especially in earnings. Sales growth, you might see growth like that in a few select EV startups. But this is here. This is now. What did George Allen, the famous football coach? The future is now. Okay, let's take a look at price-to-sales ratio on Lithia Motors, LAD. You've got price-to-sales under 1, 0.77. I've been talking about the PEG ratio. I think NVIDIA or Netflix is too high at 1.4. LAD, LAD, is 0.70. I have a $750 target price on a $375 stock 5 years down the road, and it has momentum, good momentum, 94 relative strength on a scale of 1 to 99. Lithia Motors, when I bought it, it was, well, 6 months ago, it was ranked number 65. 2 months ago, it was ranked number 50. 1 month ago, it was ranked number 23. This is out of 5,782. 7 days ago, it was ranked number 159. They reported earnings last night. They beat earnings by $1.13. They beat on revenue. Once again, their earnings were up 193%, and their sales were up 55% year over year. Well, you can go where you want to go, do what you want to do. If you want to talk to us, we would love to talk to you. You know, measure your risk that you're taking on right now in a market that is really kind of does not have an appetite at all for risk, high risk right now. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Now, I'll be doing the newsletter, as I said, tomorrow, and putting that thing out Friday. And I'll have a look at the overall macro picture of the market. That's very, very important. And, of course, as always, I reveal my portfolios for a couple of weeks to new subscribers or new free trial. I give everybody 2 free weeks. Try it out. What do you got to lose? Go to GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.